joining us now on the line. He is CNBC senior contributor. He is host of the Larry Kudlow Show, heard on WMAL Saturdays at 7 p.m. He is, of course, the aforementioned Larry Kudlow. Good morning to you, Larry.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right. So, I mean, I was just sort of looking at all of the headlines today, and I sort of came to this conclusion. Who would have thought a month ago that if you talk about disarray in politics, that we'd be talking about Democrats and not Republicans?
Well, it's a good point. It's a very interesting point. Hillary can't put Sanders away. Sanders is causing a lot of trouble inside the Democratic Party, meaning he's not going to just give it up the way you might expect a candidate to give it up, since that candidate has no chance of winning the nomination. And Sanders has an agenda. You know, it's a far-left big government. He calls it socialist-type agenda. What really interests me, though, in all this, or if I step back and I look at the overview of the whole scene, we know the economy is poor, wages are poor, and businesses are not investing, and employment is rising, but participation is low. We know the economy is the number one issue. Every single poll shows that. Would you fellas tell me what Hillary's message is on the economy?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
What is it?
I don't know.
She talks about raising taxes.
Yeah.
She talks about regulations. She talks about decimating the energy industry, including fracking. She talks about a complete government takeover of health care. In other words, she is dealing with ideological left-wing issues to beat Bernie Sanders. She has no national economic growth message. None. Nada.
Well,
and Donald Trump is developing a pretty powerful one. So she's in a heap of trouble.
The best she could come up with is, I'm going to let Bill handle the economy, which opens up a whole bunch of problems for her. But that might resonate with people who are 40 years or older and remember how things were during the 90s. Will that stick at all?
I think there are 7 or 8 people that will buy into that. Okay, that's my hunch.
Yeah.
But look, Bill Clinton's not running for president. And it's like this vice presidential discussion that Mr. Trump is having. People vote for the president. They don't vote for the vice president. They don't vote for the nominee's husband. They vote for the nominee or not. She has shown no economic aptitude whatsoever.
Well, and listen, let's get back to Mr. Trump, because you are now on the team, along with your friend and our friend as well, guest on this show, Stephen Moore, in refining Donald Trump's tax plan. What exactly are you doing there? We talked to Stephen Moore last week about it, and I don't understand why, you know, it seems like the Trump campaign is already conceding this suggestion that his original tax plan cost too much. What does that even mean? Forget that. You're a pro-growth guy, Larry. Shouldn't we just keep his tax plan the way it was?
I hope Steve didn't give you any details. I'm going to have to talk to him about that.
Yeah.
Mom's the word. Look, all we're doing as informal advisors and members of the Committee to Unleash Prosperity, these are tweaks, and we want to add some pro-growth features, and we want to reduce the deficit estimates, which, you know, I'm not losing sleep over it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Why not wait until, you know, after the Democrats in the Senate, in the Trump administration, say, hey, we're not going to let you have this tax plan because of the cost of the deficit? Why concede that ground now?
I'm not sure I understand. We're fighting a general election here, so you got to put your cards on the table. Policies will be scrutinized, and I think
And you think it's politically untenable to have a tax plan that, quote-unquote, costs too much and will make too big a deficit?
I don't think it's optimal. You know, I've been through this so many times. Years ago with Ronald Reagan, who had similar across-the-board tax cuts to Trump. I mean, Trump stuff is just like Reagan. Lower marginal tax rates, broaden the base and the loopholes, create a simpler code. It's identical, okay? So you used to have this argument, the Washington Post and the New York Times. The Democratic Party has never met a tax cut it ever liked, and all they do is argue deficits. So take a look at Mr. Obama's deficit record. Is that what you'd call stellar?
Exactly.
I mean, what they do is spend, and they use the deficit argument to avoid pro-growth tax cuts. That's not the issue. I've been involved in a number of budgets in my time under Reagan and advised on a number of budgets since then. You do the best you can on the numbers. The numbers don't drive the policy. The policy drives the policy.
Yeah.
So Trump is saying to small business people, and large ones for that matter, I'm going to knock your tax down to 15%, lowest in the world. Okay, and he's saying to individuals, I'm going to knock your tax down to somewhere around 15, 25, 28% for middle-income people. That's a huge improvement. And he's going to end a whole bunch of loopholes, credits, deductions that really are not necessary with tax reform and do smack of a certain K Street cronyism. Those are the key points. We're going to try. Deregulation is another key point. You're going to hear an energy speech from the candidate in the next week or so. That's another key point. But here's my key point.
Mm-hmm.
Those are pro-growth measures, every single one of them. Mrs. Clinton is Dr. No. All she wants is redistribution, and she wants to fight inequality. That's not what's on the public's mind. When you look at the exit polls in both political parties, especially GOP, but also Democrats, inequality is way down the list.
All right,
jobs, economy, even health care, the Democratic side. Where's inequality? People want a job, and they want a higher-paying job. So it's not about the numbers per se. And, yes, we are helping out. We're just helping out informally on this.
Right.
But I don't see how Hillary wins. I'm not surprised she's lost 30 points in the polls. She has no economic recovery message. It's the main issue of our time, plus terrorism. So, gee whiz, where's she at?
All right, so we got about 15, 20 seconds left. I'm really interested if you have a quick answer to this. Republicans are paying closer attention to the election than Democrats, according to a Gallup poll. Why do you think that is?
Because they're smart. That's why. Because they know it's time for change. That's why. And every poll shows that the country's going in the wrong direction. I always thought most Republicans, not all, I know some real smart Democrats, but most Republicans really are a higher breed.
All right, we're going to leave it right there. and no argument from us.